Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, continuing the bird image, from time to time on TV or on a video on the internet or social media, you might catch the image of a duck or a goose with her little yellow hatchlings attempting to navigate the traffic on a busy freeway. It's a harrowing sight, to be sure. The mama bird could easily flap her wings and fly to safety, but she remains for the sake of the little ones who know not yet even to stay still in the face of danger. I had my own experience of darting out into traffic as a kid one time. It was in a parking lot, and I thought for sure that I could manage my own destiny to make it to my mother's car without holding her hand as she had so often insisted. A scream from my mother and the honk of a car horn reminded me quickly that danger was close. It's a tender image of compassion, though, that is represented by a motorist on the freeway who stops his car and becomes the first of many to block traffic, provide safe passage for the mama duck and her babies. The online videos show that some gracious souls even get out of their cars and begin to herd the little family away from the lanes of traffic and toward the less dangerous shoulder of the road. In both my situation of running out into the driving sections of the parking lot and in that of the wayward ducks on the freeway, protection and comfort care is received by we who find ourselves pulled toward destruction. Wings of safety indeed enfold us as we make our way through even the most perilous of situations. Both the mama duck and the gracious motorist who stops traffic, and even my own mother who screamed at me in my foolishness, echo the image of God as a mother hen from today's gospel reading. Like the gentle but fierce souls, God would put God's self at risk to hide us even in the shelter of heavenly wings. God would gather us close to whatever solid, immovable object could be found. God would stop traffic. God would scream and honk the horn of divine judgment in order to get us out of danger. So why don't we trust God? Why does Jesus weep when he looks out over Jerusalem, remembering the times when God had offered protection, care, and encouragement, the shelter of his wings, yet finds his children not willing? It's a deeply painful image in the Bible. Jesus' so-called lament over Jerusalem is a particular portion of Luke's gospel that heightens the cost for God's purposes in Jesus. The giving of Jesus' life for the sake of God's people, sheltered and protected, saved over and over again throughout the history of Israel. One would hope that having been offered the care of a mother duck, her babies would stop and stop fussing and stop running out into traffic and be saved. But despite the successes depicted in the videos on the internet, we all know that the result of ducklings on the freeway is most often tragic. Even though my mother's scream awakened me to danger, so very often the danger prevails and a life is cut short. Freak accidents notwithstanding, how much more tragic are the times we ignore a mother's scream and run out into the path of danger or destruction anyway and pay the ultimate price. This is the tragedy of Jerusalem when Jesus weeps. Prophets were sent. Grace was given. And you were not willing. God's salvation, it seems, while universal and reaching as far as east is from the west, goes unrealized, not only in Jerusalem of old, but in our lives as well. For there remains the lament of our insistent pride that scoffs at tender grace and is belligerent to even the most anguished of screams, calling us not to dash out into danger. To be clear, this grief that Jesus feels at the demise of Jerusalem has nothing to do with the Jewish faith. It's not God condemning Jerusalem and its people for somehow misbehaving one time too many, as if there were a three-strike rule for disobeying God. This portion of the story should not be understood as a rejection of God's people, Israel, and support for those who follow Christ and the religion built upon that name. Rather, this is a lament over every city and every people, for we all eschew the free gift of grace to share life and love with all of creation. This is our selfish greed which insists on the limits of our ability to protect and encourage each other in the blessings of life that we each enjoy and share with one another. It's our unwillingness to welcome the stranger because of an ignorance of traditions unfamiliar. It's our refusal to feed our neighbors because of a fear that despite full pantries and refrigerators, we ourselves might go hungry. It's our rejection of immigrants at the border because of misplaced anger about violence and crime. It's our disdain for people who are gay because of an insecurity about our own sexuality. Even Jesus' refusal to heed the warning of his friends to flee the wrath of Herod, who seeks to kill him, is a nod to the privilege Jesus knows is his because he does have the power to flee. But Jesus considers also those who have no ability to get away from the tyrants like Herod. Jesus refuses to avail himself of an opportunity to fly away when he knows that countless ducklings remain in danger of the powerful vehicles driven by the likes of Herod. And so Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, not only because it, like so many cities before and countless to come, seek power and wealth to bolster their authority and status, but also because of the grace that seems to always be left on the table when God offers it in the name of loving the neighbor and caring for the needy. Jesus' lament is less about action and more about inaction, because God can forgive the actions of the foolish, even impertinent children. But to sit by and watch those children race out into the path of an oncoming vehicle, God can only scream from the side of the road. Why can we not trust this grace of God that is offered for the sake of all of God's children? Why must we silence those who cry out for justice and marginalize those sent to proclaim peace? Will we ever learn to listen to the voice of God that embraces the weak and the vulnerable? We've all been witnessing the horrors of war in cities and towns in Ukraine. If images of a mama duck and her brood facing down the dangers of a freeway vehicles are enough to raise our hackles of compassion, how much more the scenes of women and children fleeing bombs falling out of the sky indiscriminately upon residential buildings and medical facilities and schools. And the pain of it comes for the needlessness of it all, the abject, senseless pain and destruction, the meaningless loss of life, innocence, trust. There is need for good news in our world today. Bombs detonate. Ducklings fret and flail on the freeway. Mothers scream as horns honk and children dash. And over it all, Jesus laments and weeps. The good news is that Jesus does not allow his lament to stymie his mission to release those imprisoned by the powers of hatred, greed, and unrestrained ambition. Like the brave motorist who stops traffic and gets out of his vehicle for the sake of the frightened ducklings and their mama, Jesus steps into the danger of our world to free those who have managed to get their lives into a mess that seems unsurmountable. Jesus puts himself in the situation of the innocent, not just to empathize, not just to walk a mile in their shoes, but to usher them to safety and to see with them the light of a new day. That's the heartwarming, happy ending of the story, where the ducklings make it to the side of the road and go on to grow into mama and daddy ducks of their own, where the kid like me who runs out into traffic manages to avoid the collision with an automobile looking for a parking spot, where families are reunited and wars cease. There is, of course, however, another more harrowing ending, one that doesn't end as happily for the ducks or the needy or the war-ravaged families or those who suffer racism or injustice, those who hunger and never receive a loaf of bread. There is an ending in which Jesus does die at the hand of that fox, Herod, and Pilate, and all the powers of the world that will not listen to his word of grace. But even there, good news prevails. Jesus enters into that lament too, because Jesus does not abandon even those less than lucky ducklings on the freeway. Jesus suffers their same fate so that they and we with him might, as Paul declares, be conformed to the body of his glory. And come what may, for all of us who are as helpless as ducklings on a freeway, or as obstinate as those in Jerusalem who kill the prophets, we will indeed see him on that day when we say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord."